Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps. And we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, the New Ed Seafood Shed at the top of the hill in Spanish Fort, and they're the official sponsor of my tirades, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. Of course, SVN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook. Hey, just give us a shout here at 343-0106 to join us on air. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, it's Cal, @Cal_SBN. And, of course, you can always check out ScuttlebuttNetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Later on SBN, we will be joined by Ms. Fran Barber from the South Alabama Veterans Council. She will share the details on a very special veteran remembrance coming up here in South Alabama, as well as some additional events coming up in the area. And Tom's tirade is on Black Hawk Down to Benghazi. Good one you don't want to miss.
Oh, no.
But there you go. But first, Tom, you know, there much has been made of some of the actions of one of the senators here in the state of Alabama, Tommy Tuberville.
Yes.
You know, whether you like him or not as the coach from Auburn, I heard an interview when he said somebody asked him, how are you going to win the state of Alabama because you were the coach at Auburn? And he said, hey, if it wasn't for me, y'all never would have gotten Nick Saban because I beat all the other guys.
That is so cool.
So he has some very strong views and is standing up for what he believes. And I don't know if he is the sole person or if he is just the face of this, but he is currently holding up and has for months the appointment or the nominations for at least 25 3 and 4 star officers and people who are replacements in the upper echelon of the brass when it comes to the armed services, because the in the Senate one senator can object and delay the nomination or the confirmation of any of these flag officers. And he has done so because of a policy that was put into place by the Pentagon in the wake of the Roe versus Wade decision, And this policy allows troops leave time and travel expenses for abortions. Now, obviously, this is a policy that is supposed to play, come into play if you're in a state that has limited the access to abortions, so that you can travel to a state, you know, say California, where I believe they actually pay for your travel to come out, and you can do an abortion vacation out there. But he has come out opposed to that policy and has blocked all confirmations for officers that have to come before the Senate. Now, his opposition to this, Tom, I don't think it's all that unfounded, because we currently have in place what is sort of known as the Hyde Amendment, which was named after the senator who proposed it. But basically it says that the U.S. government is not going to pay for abortions.
Right.
Because you may be opposed to abortion, and so your tax dollars should not be going
right
towards something that you oppose.
Right.
But the Pentagon, they've circumvented Congress on this and come up with their own policy, which effectively funds an abortion. But what I find interesting, Tom, is rather than tackle the argument from that perspective, that we already have policy that Congress put into play, not that some Pentagon wonk did, and they want to now, and it's like they do every time there's a government shutdown. You know, they want to go and find, you know, the destitute private out there,
mm-hmm,
who can't pay for food,
right,
and the housing and all that kind of stuff, because they're not getting paid, which is a fallacy, actually,
right,
most of the time. But now they come out with a story, and this one was on military.com, and the title of it was "Deferred Retirements, Unemployed Spouses, Field Officers Working as Generals. Democrats' memo details effects of Tuberville blocking military promotions." And you would think that the military was going to collapse because of this.
Right.
You know,
hey, those guys are already holding those positions.
Well, and they even go so far as to talk about the fact that you have these staff officers, at least 25 3- and 4-star officers that were forced to delay retirements because their backup can't get moved into that position. You know, so cry me a river. You know, these officers are making pretty good money.
Yes.
Doing this.
Yes.
And I'm certain that they're not out in the field crawling in the dirt.
No. No.
But, go ahead.
But, you know, Gallup, in every year and every branch of the service, they were always people that were filling slots that they didn't actually care the rate for. I mean, I was a buck sergeant, and I was holding down a gunny sergeant's billet. And that happens every day in service. And then these guys that were going to be moved into, say, a 2-star from a 1-star, they have gone into the same position that they're going to take over, and they're just acting as a 2-star. It happened out at 3rd Force out here. We had a gunny sergeant going in to fill in a 1st sergeant's billet, but they still promoted him in there, and at a later date, they made him a 1st sergeant, you know? But
yeah.
So I don't understand how that's supposed to be working.
They do detail some stories like that, where you have field officers that are moving into some of these billets. The problem is, Tom.
Yeah.
They're whining because they're not getting paid what they would.
Oh well, golly gee.
And you know, and then you get stories, and some of it is, you know, they're still getting their
pay, Cal.
They're just not getting
the increase that they would get by moving to the other rank.
It is, and I don't see any stories in here of any of them refusing to do that job that you're eventually going to get.
Right.
But, yeah, you would think that it was going to be the collapse of our society because he's holding this up.
Right.
And he has said that he is not – I don't think he is going to allow a vote on a budget, maybe, until they have a vote on the abortion issue.
Well, so, you know, he's standing his ground. That's his prerogative. That's what he's entitled to do.
Well, again, what I would like to see is let's hold a hearing on it.
Right.
Let's drag the Pentagon folks in.
Yep.
And where's this money coming from? How are you funding this?
Yep.
But no, of course they don't want to do that.
Oh, but, no. No, they'd rather
an interesting story.
They'd rather lease that $6 billion to Iran.
Oh, I've heard it's probably going to be close to 50, Tom.
50 billion?
Of course, they're going to let some bad guys out again.
Oh, Lord, yeah. We got, what, five out on this side?
Mm. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the reality is, if you're an American, don't get nabbed in Russia.
Right.
But hey, on the other side of the break, we're going to talk with Ms. Fran Barber from the South Alabama Veterans Council when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Handsome man.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, you can also catch us on the FM Talk 106.5 app, where our regularly aired programs will go up via podcast. And Tom Styrett is up on castbox.fm. And it is always great to be joined by a great patriot and supporter of our veterans, Ms. Fran Barber from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Fran, welcome back to SVN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Thank you, and thank you for letting the SAVC speak tonight. We have a lot of activity going on this weekend.
It's really going to be a big show here this weekend at the battleship, but let's talk about some of the other items that are happening, and one of the announcements been made today.
The Mobile Bay Area Veterans Day Commission made their announcement. Dave Riley has been chosen as the Veteran of the Year 2023. He is a U.S. Army and U.S. Coast Guard retired. He's with the Disabled Veterans Association. We're very proud to be able to announce that tonight.
Yes.
Congratulations, Dave.
Yes, that's an awesome person there to be receiving that award. Dave is one heck of a veteran and an awesome veterans advocate and worked real strong with the DAV.
He was national president in 2016 of the DAV.
Right. He was. We've had him on the show on several occasions. He's very knowledgeable, very intelligent, and as I say, we're blessed to have him in this area. You have another person that'll be or receive an award at that meeting too.
Our Patriot of the Year is Joe Bonner, who is the president of the University of South Alabama.
Awesome. Yes, this gentleman, he's done everything, hasn't he?
He's been very busy and a very, very good supporter of veterans.
He was
for every honor flight in Washington, D.C., he was there to greet those World War II veterans.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Now, when will these awards be presented to these gentlemen?
They will have an honors dinner on November the 9th, and the Patriot Luncheon will be November the 10th, which is going to be celebrated for Veterans Day. Veterans Day is actually on November the 11th,
right,
but because it falls on the weekend, they celebrate on the Friday prior to.
Right, okay. And that's the day we'll actually have the parade, is on the 10th.
Yes. We're going to be getting a letter out to our parade participants in the next couple of days, so you can start sending your applications in.
Okay, yeah. How many units do we normally have in that, Fran?
Oh, my goodness. Don't make me lie. I can tell you the parade is 2 miles long.
Goodness. Mm. And there must be 100 different units in there?
Absolutely. Yeah. And this year we're expecting over 600 JROTC.
Woo! 600 members?
JROTC from the different schools in Baldwin County and Mobile County.
Oh, okay, okay. Now, don't they have some girls ROTC, junior ROTC?
There's a lot of girls in those units.
I think they have some girls, actual girls units up in Saraland or somewhere up there. Or either that or it's a different branch, maybe the Air Force.
Well, the Coast Guard, the Saraland High School,
right,
has just started the JROTC program at their school, and it's the Coast Guard.
Okay. I knew there was something new going on up there at all. Now, you know, but it's just really fascinating to see all of the things that we are going to be able to put together for the second annual Veterans, Helping Veterans car show and Jeep Bash on the Bay at the Battleship this coming Saturday from like 8 till somewhere in there, 7 to 2. But, you know, prior to that, though, aren't we celebrating the POW/MIA Recognition Day?
On
Friday.
Friday, yes. Evening at the Battleship.
Right.
At the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. We're going to have a candlelight ceremony to honor those POW/MIA families and those prisoners of war and missing in action that have not returned.
You know,
Colonel Patrick Downing is going to be our guest speaker. The Montford Point Marines will have the POW/MIA table. And I know you know Eli Crawford.
Oh, yes.
He will present the POW/MIA table ceremony.
Awesome. Yeah. A new member of the P.L. Wilson Detachment as of this past month.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that program's going to start at 6:30, and it's open to the public. And, of course, coming in after 4:30 at the Battleship, there's no parking fee.
Right. That's neat, because normally the parking fee is $5 per vehicle coming in there. But now, that being said, aren't we going to be able to – Saturday is actually the POW/MIA day, and we have our fabulous general director from the Battleship is going to be in Montgomery for that event.
Yeah, she's going to be one of the keynote speakers at the State of Alabama POW/MIA Recognition Day ceremony. That's going to be at the Alabama State Capitol on the South Lawn. And the guest speaker is Colonel Bob Bearfield, U.S. Army. All that starts at 11, I believe. They'll have a motorcycle ride in. The Don Westwood Memorial Ride will bring the flag in to the ceremony, and that will kick off the ceremony that day.
That is awesome. That is really awesome. We're also going to be able to carry that forward to our presentation as a car show at the Battleship that Saturday, in that it is still POW/MIA. So, therefore, we're going to be able to present that service as well.
You know, we had a very special opportunity this past week. You and Neil and myself and your sweet lady, we went out and met Walter Ballard. He's U.S. Army Korean War veteran. He has been presenting the POW/MIA table ceremony for years, and he has donated or presented that to the P.L. Wilson Detachment. So awesome. You all, the P.L. Wilson Detachment, is now in charge of the POW/MIA table ceremony.
That is awesome. We are so definitely proud to be able to carry forward with that.
It's quite an honor.
It is, and it's neat that we will be able to present that to close of our car show out there and our ceremony this coming Saturday afternoon right after lunch. But we as P.L. Wilson Detachment are extremely proud to have been awarded that by our patriot and veteran, Mr. Ballard there. It's just Walter Ballard. He's what an awesome gentleman.
You know, I didn't know it, but he was president of the SABC at one time.
Yes.
I think it was back in 2001.
99 and 2000, somewhere in there, he was president of that. So that's neat to know that. I thought Lou had been president for 100 years.
Seems like it. I'm sure he probably feels like he has been.
I think he does,
He's been
too.
A good one.
Yeah.
Listen, tell me about that 102-year-old fella.
All right. Well, let me do that just as soon as we come back from the break. And we will talk again with Ms. Fran on the other side of the break. Any further information, you can find it on scuttlebuttnetwork.com.
Hit a lick against what's wrong. Say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we want to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, RC lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. The New Ed Seafood Shed on the top of the hill in Spanish Fort, Viva Care of Alabama, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And again, we are speaking with Ms. Fran Barber from the South Alabama Veterans Council.
Yes, and it's a pleasure to have you back on, Fran. Are you on board with us?
I'm here. Thank you.
You know, we was talking about the, you mentioned the 102-year-old veteran that we're going to have at our, I'm trying to say services, but that's not correct, at our presentation and our car show. And it's just unbelievable that this gentleman, we saw him on TV the other day. And he was,
yes.
And it was his birthday, 102 birthday, and he was. I think he was at the American Legion Club out in Chickasaw, and he was dancing. So
he doesn't look a day over 80.
Woo! I'm gonna talk to him.
Awesome! It's unbelievable.
I'm gonna talk to him. I want to find out he's got to be eating and drinking something.
What his secret is? Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true, but it's just unbelievable. All the things that that this guy has been exposed to, being in World War II, and his his girlfriend says, "I'll have him there." She says, "I'll tell him. I won't tell him what we're doing. I'll just tell him that we're going to meet Jerry over there at the battleship and see something at the battleship." So I said, "Well, you bring him on, because there's an organization called Quilts of Valor that are here on the Gulf Coast. They have a unit in Baldwin County, and they have one here in Mobile County. And these ladies all get together, and they sew these handmade quilts. And then they give them to a such deserving veteran And it has their name all stitched in it, and all got a full placard in back in the inside of the blanket that shows all of their records or their dates and everything that they were in service. And we're going to be able to get one of those blankets from those people to give to this gentleman. That being said, friend, I think we have five or six more of veterans that are going to be recognized. I know that
she's going to.
Go ahead.
Should be presenting five or six quilts that day.
That is awesome. You know,
Joyce Reed and Linda Tipp.
Right.
With the Quilts of Valor. Those are some busy ladies.
Oh, they are. It's unbelievable. And, you know, for them to take the time and want to present those at this event. And I know our buddy Bubba Jackson, he's a 96-year-old Marine and it's in our detachment. Veteran of the World War II in China, as well as a chosen frozen, however you want to define that or say that. But he's going to receive one of the blankets. And then I know of another 80-year-old Marine is going to receive a blanket. So, and they have three others that I'm not aware of. So we are very just over pleased to be able to do that at our event over there.
Well, will the Toys for Tots Foundation be there?
Yes, ma'am. They sure will be. We're kind of going to kick off our collection. We will be this is not a Toys for Tots car show. This is only a collection point for Toys for Tots. And the Third Force will be there to help us collect the toys and get that kicked off for the year so that we can get those toys to the youngsters in our area here in the Mobile area and on the Gulf Coast.
Well, tell me about equine therapy.
Equine therapy is a traumatic stress. I guess you know by getting these veterans with the equine therapy of the horses over in Baldwin County, it de-stresses these guys and brings their PTSD levels down to the point where they're more able to be able to exist and get along. Now, that's an awesome event. I know our veteran friend Mike Dow is on their board. But the real thing that we want to talk about, that lady will be at our as one of the vendors in one of our vendors' tents at the event. And you know more about this than I do, but the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Club, what unit is this?
Okay, it's the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association.
Association, okay.
They are a 501c3. It's 28-6, located here in Mobile. They'll have a special presentation for Carrie. We're looking forward to that. They'll be riding in. I'm not sure how many they're expecting on their motorcycles.
Right.
But we will have a spot reserved for them when they come in.
There you go. Okay. And then we've got that going on, and we have the special presentation to Brother Ballard there, for the great patriot from here on the Gulf Coast. And he's going to try to he doesn't get around real well like a lot of us older guys don't anyway. But he's going to be there, and we want to recognize him and present him a trophy. And we also have the one for the oldest Marine at the event. And then we have about 60 awards to go to all of the cars and Jeeps and what have you over there, best of shows. And it's just really a hoot to be able to do this. But then Unity Fiber's going to be there. I'm kind of blown away with this, that they're going to display a huge American flag. I think that flag is somewhere in the 30 to 40-foot range. It's huge.
It is, and it's beautiful.
Is that the same flag or same setup that y'all had at Blue Star?
A couple of years ago, yes. They have been at the Blue Star event.
Okay. Well, I guess the firemen did it this year, didn't they?
Alabama Power
did, okay.
Flag, Alabama Power. Unity did have their flag out further down the street.
Okay.
So what is the entrance fee going to be?
This is a free show. There's no admission charge. If you enter a vehicle to be judged and potentially receive an award for it, then you pay an entry fee of $30. But as far as the public coming in to see all of this, there's no fee. Now, when you get in over there, though, to park on the battleship grounds, it's a $5 per car, which that money goes to the battleship to sustain that facility.
That's a $5 donation.
Right, that's a $5 donation. But that doesn't have anything to do with us and our car show. And there's no charges on what we're doing.
Well, are you going to have a few Jeeps there?
I'm getting Jeeps from everywhere. We've got a group. I talked to a gentleman today that he was at Pensacola at a car show over there last Saturday. And he spoke to this guy that happened to be in charge of one of those groups. I don't know how they define president or whatever. But anyway, he was in charge of one of the groups, and he went and caught the guy back up, and he said, I talked to a bunch of our people. We're caravanning in from Pensacola. I'm going, like, what? Okay, that's cool. I look for over 100 Jeeps.
That's amazing.
And I got a call this afternoon, too, from over in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and the gentleman wanted to know if he could bring his Jeep. He said, I got a 47 model. Factory stock or Jeep. It hasn't been remodeled or anything. He says, can I bring it? And he said, I've got a lot of clothes and all I'd like to display too. So I told him, bring it on. So it's going to be an exciting event. I'm just so pleased to be able to partake in it and have you and Neil work with me on it.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Tom. We're excited about it, and it's going to be a fun day.
Amen.
And it's not going to rain.
Not until we get through and leave.
There you go. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Yeah, we got to get out of there early so we could go catch this wind. But it's just neat to be able to do that. And let's see here, Brother Cal. We need to get out of here. And,
on the other side. Do we have time for one more?
Well, if you'd just say it real quick.
Okay, the Veterans Women's Warrior Retreat in Gulf Shores.
Right.
September 21st through the 24th.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, ma'am. I forgot that. But
that's okay.
All right.
It's on Facebook.
All right. It's on Facebook. Okay. But we're going to get on out of here, and we'll get a break. And on the other side of the break, we'll get my tirade.
100 men will test today, but only 3.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Recent headlines from Washington have had me thinking about events from this so-called dark continent. Events which saw our brave warriors on the front lines of freedom left twisting in the winds of political change and partisan expediency. Headlines that have swirled around the threats of block nominations in the Senate over requests for additional information over the massacre in Benghazi. The confluence of the two have caused my thoughts to drift back to an eerie similar scenario, which occurred on the African continent nearly 2 decades ago. It was under the Clinton administration when our nation's warriors faced the specter of defeat at the hands of an unruly mob of fanatics, along with abandonment at the hands of an administration hell-bent on political expediency. For those of you who are too young to have seen it or too short-sighted to remember, the events of the Battle of Mogadishu were chronicled in the excellent book, Black Hawk Down, A Story of Modern War, and the graphically realistic movie, Black Hawk Down. Both very accurately portray the story of the events of October the 3rd and 4th, 1993, although they both conspicuously avoid any discussion of the decisions leading up to the conflict or the lack of decisive leadership from the White House during the course of the battle. The story revolves around Task Force Ranger, consisting primarily of U.S. Army Rangers from the 3rd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment, Bravo Company. 1st Special Force Operational Detachment Delta, better known as Delta Force, and helicopters from 1st Battalion, 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment. Although novices of the battlefield, this group was as highly trained and motivated as any of our armed forces that we fielded at that time. The Rangers were still the Army's elite, and Delta Force was the cutting edge of the Spec Ops community. Together, they were tasked with restoring peace in the war-torn country of Somalia, which had seen its president overthrown in 1991, and his country thrown into a clan violence leading to a collapse of civil society. The U.S. found itself in Somalia after pictures of starving, fly-infested children made their way into the international community, sparking a cry for desperately needed humanitarian assistance. Soon after began the first round of using the U.S. military as a global Meals on Wheels program in an effort to ensure that food and supplies from around the world were not confiscated by the Klan warlords, specifically Mohammed Farid Adid. Although the initial surge, which included elements of the 15th Marine Expeditionary Unit, met success in restoring delivery of the relief supplies, the Somalis were unable to maintain order and Adid seized power, casting the UN and U.S. as occupiers rather than peacekeeping liberators. Does that sound familiar? In the ensuing escalation, Adid and his followers began a guerrilla war with the U.S. and UN, which ultimately led to Task Force Rangers finding themselves in the house-to-house urban warfare of October 3rd and 4th, with an operation to snatch two of Adid's lieutenants, which was supposed to last no more than 30 minutes, lasted nearly 2 days, resulting in 18 Americans dead, 80 wounded, and one captured. The Battle of Mogadishu highlighted the misuse of military power by a feckless administration, both in the failure to understand the magnitude of the enemy, which resulted in an improperly deployed force structure as the U.S. was without its own heavy armor component. In a shameful display of failed leadership from the commander-in-chief, our Rangers had to fight their way out of Mogadishu, with many having to literally spring their last leg to reach a U.N. compound and what would become known as the Mogadishu Mile. The Clinton administration's subsequent decision to cut and run for Somalia rather than annihilate Adid and his followers led an obscure Islamic terrorist named Osama bin Laden to postulate that the U.S. would be defeated because his leaders did not have the stomach to fight. In 2001, he tested this theory with disastrous results. Although seen as a defeat, the Battle of Mogadishu was not without its heroes. Among them, Master Sergeant Gary Gordon and Sergeant First Class Randy Shugart, who selfishly sacrificed their lives by voluntarily inserting themselves into the crash site of a downed Black Hawk helicopter. In an eerie foreshadowing of events, nearly 20 years later on the African continent, both were killed in their efforts to defend their fellow Americans while waiting on help that would never come. Their corpses were among those shown throughout the world in the images of our soldiers' corpses being abused, burned, and dragged through the streets in the aftermath of the battle without recourse. Images that will make my blood boil and leave me saying a few choice words for the cigar aficionado in chief. I have much the same response to our current commander-in-chief on a number of grounds, none less than the massacre of Americans in Benghazi last September 11th, in which U.S. Ambassador Stevens was tortured and killed along with two Navy SEALs who volunteered to insert themselves into the consulate and were killed in their efforts to defend their fellow Americans while waiting on help that would never come. Does that sound similar? Many now believe that they were likely killed by our own damn weapons, which had been walked into Libya by the administration in support of the Islamic rebels. To date, there has been no retaliation for this act of war on the U.S. We, the American people, have yet to be told the truth of the events that day by anyone in this administration. I hope that few on Capitol Hill with the power to seek this will not give up in their quest. However, I think there is one truth that history will show. Our pivot to the Pacific and away from the Middle East and now Africa is unwarranted and dangerous. This administration's decision to cut and run from Afghanistan and Iraq and its subsequent support of uprising throughout the Middle East and Africa will only embolden the next generations of bin Ladens. Their insistence on sacrificing our military to pay for their welfare state will only serve to put our children and grandchildren at a disadvantage when facing future generations of tyranny determined to defeat the great Satan. One might think that the brutal murder of Ambassador Stevens would lead to an understanding that diplomacy just doesn't work in countries that know only mob rule, that unconditional surrender is sometimes necessary, and hey, it works. Unfortunately, our nation is sorely lacking in the leadership category in Washington these days, with politicians that are more concerned with growing their own damn power than doing what is right for this nation and its people. But that would take courage, and we seem to be led by a cult of cowardice. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Load up, sir!
Load up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom!
Welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Broadcasting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines, with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And of course, you know, Tom, yeah, that particular tirade was written in the aftermath of what occurred in Benghazi.
Right.
And of course we really don't have answers from the politicians on what occurred.
No.
There have been some excellent books that have been put out, mm-hmm. And some movies, but there really has been no accountability.
And you know, and,
for what occurred in Benghazi.
And then they pinned her down, and what did she say about those deaths, you know? What difference does it make? You know?
Right. And you know, so fast forward, and I thought it was interesting in that tirade that we talk about at that time the pullout by the Obama administration from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
And of course, you follow on, and here we are just, you know, a few years later with sort of the official withdrawal from Afghanistan by the Biden administration,
mm-hmm.
and which caused the loss of the Bagram Air Base, millions of dollars of military equipment, and of course 13 deaths.
Mm-mm-mm.
And again, no one has been held accountable, Tom.
Right. So totally true.
Here we are. You know, we have the Republicans in charge in the House, and yet we get no hearings.
Right, which they still not doing anything.
No, and granted, there's plenty of things to investigate.
Sure.
But why there have not been high-level brass, why they have not brought in Milley and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, bring them in and find out what happened and why those decisions were made.
Yeah. Well, they don't have time for that, Cal. They're fighting each other about, you know, their ex-president Trump and our current president, you know, Obama, O'Biden. Yeah, that's it. O'Biden. He's just another one of the same shoe. But, you know, we're tying ourselves up with all the stupid politics crap. There's nothing going to come out of it, and we're burning all of that money, burning all that time, when we could be dwelling on a lot of more important things. We could even stop this thing that's going on with Turbeville. They just get off their butts and do something.
Absolutely. But, hey, that's going to bring us to the close. God bless America. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah.